Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. From the dizzying heights of round 9 and 10, super coaches were brought back down to earth in round 11 with subpar scores across the board, leaving most super coaches either cheering or ruining their captaincy choice. We've finally arrived at the first major bye round, and the injury carnage has flipped this round on its head. Robert Toyer and Jacob Kiraz, most notably, have fallen by the wayside, whilst injuries and benchings to key Newcastle players have also wreaked havoc with people's bye planning. Joining me tonight to discuss all the major implications for the first major bye round, State of Origin and beyond, it's former third place overall finisher, coach of the Casabonitas, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome back to the SC Ballers podcast.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. Very excited to talk buys this week. It's the longer we look at these buys and doing planning, the harder it looks like it's getting. So, yeah, very interesting week for trade-ins.
How'd you get on the weekend? I think you had a pretty good week, didn't you?
Yeah. Apart from bringing in drink water, I mean, it could have been anything, really. It didn't really even hurt that bad. Like, I just knew everyone had him, and now I just joined the party as well. So I had a 13-23, good score to go with my sort of yo-yoing season. So I'm just outside the top 1K I've gone trade heavy. I went to plan hard last week, and I'm planning to go hard again this week, see if I can get into that top 1,000.
Yeah, no, you... I can't. You're either up 1,000, down 2,000. There's not much in between for you this season. It's good stuff. Yeah, the drinky stuff was diabolical. We'll see how. Hopefully, he can bounce back. He's actually fairly well sold off, drinky. So we'll get to that very shortly. Also joining us tonight for his main pod debut, you might have heard us talking to him during the main pod. It's friend of the pod, producer of the pod, and longtime super coach gun producer Gramsy. Gramsy, welcome to this side of the microphone.
Thanks very much for having me, Matty and Dan. Very good to be here. I don't know if I'm a Supercoach gun this year, maybe in the past once or twice, but nothing to match you guys. So looking forward to you, looking forward to letting you know some of my thoughts actually in person this time without just any messages running along the screen or in the chat.
No, you're underselling yourself, mate. You got a lot of wisdom to impart, so looking forward to hearing from you tonight. How are you travelling so far this season? How'd you go last week?
As I alluded to earlier, it was not a good week. I've stopped looking at my rank, to be honest. I'm in the top 10,000 still. I did lose like 2,500 spots this week. Luckily,
Captain 11. Captain Drinkwater?
No, I captained Terrell May. So, okay. But I still only got 1,130. Okay. So I brought in King Tongia and played him.
Right. Okay.
In place of Munster. So that's how good I'm going. I'm on tilt at the moment, you could say.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bit like that. I'm licking my wounds. I thought I was traveling really well for around 12, and now all of a sudden I was down to 9 players, and then thankfully Lucas is named, so I've got 10 and then 3 trades and I'll have 13. So Tommy Cant, a bit of a blow, but it's not looking good this week, let's put it that way. But hopefully we can hang on. I had a small red arrow, a small green arrow, 27th up to 24th with a 1240. So I captained May, thankfully. Just getting lucky with these captain choices. It's Dan, I can't remember a season. The boys spoke about it on the snap, but can't remember a season where the captain swings have been this big.
Yeah, You just have to get it right. I mean, it feels like it's been obvious at times, but I don't like going forward. This is it's a huge week for captains this week. There's a few big options. You get the VC loop this week, so if you don't know about the VC loop, make sure you learn about it because you get a free loop this week. So you basically need two definite captain options, probably in two of the teams that are heavy favorites this week. Probably looking rather than the forwards and the front rowers this week for the big premium fullbacks or goal kicking wingers, something like that.
Yep, I'd agree with that. All right, guys, let's get into our housekeeping. So don't forget to join the league, the SC Ballers 5K League, $5,000 worth of prizes. The baller bosses still haven't told me when to shut this, so we're leaving it open. So still time to join. 730444 is that league code, 730444. Big shout out to Romain, coach of the main event, aka coach of the Romain event. He's 11th overall, so still flying, and he is top of the baller league. So well done to you, Romain. Baller.live. The live site for our live super coach scores still flying. We've got tons of content still coming out on our socials. Gramsy, mate, you're doing a great job with that in the background. We've got tons and tons still more coming. We've got developers working on some cool stuff for the baller.live site as well. So really pumped to launch that all in the coming weeks. Reminder to listen to the Q&A pod this Thursday. Me and myself and Dan will be back. I presume, Dan, you're coming back for that one?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, the questions have been coming thick and fast, and I imagine we're going to have a ton this week. Please ask about the VC loop as well. That's the good opportunity for us to get stuck in there. And obviously, check out the Sunday Snap. Jono and Tubes doing a great job. Jono's going to be here next Tuesday filling in for me as well, so good chance to listen to Jono next week as well. Catch us on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Really helps us out for a like and subscribe. At SC Ballers and at SC.Ballers on YouTube. Please get along and check us out. And we're so thankful to all the listeners and viewers out there for getting involved with our content. It's really given us a boost. We've cracked over 1 million impressions on social media. So it's obviously great to find, you know, within the Supercoach niche that there's such an engaged audience. And we love all our ballers to death. So thank you very much.
Veers to the right. Inside. Oh.
Guys, let's get onto the baller blueprint now. And we've got a couple of topics this week, but the first one is going to be buy round coverage. So I'll start by just explaining the buy rounds for our audience out there, for those who are unaware. So we've got the major buy rounds. These are the rounds where you only need five teams will be playing. There'll be five games, 10 teams. And your best 13 players will score. So you can have more than 13 in these rounds, but only you'll have 13 scoring players, and they can come from any position or reserve slot if you have the reserve on them. The minor buy rounds, so that's rounds 13, 16, and 19. That's when there are seven games a week with three teams on the buy. And that's just per normal Supercoach rules where your best 17 will count from a selected 18 players. So just like a standard week of Supercoach, but with less players available due to three teams being on the bye instead of one. Boys, I'm going to start with a few questions. Gramsy, I'll start with you. How important is it to have a full team, a full selection of players for each bye round? So whether it's 13 for this week or 17 for the minor buy rounds?
I think you definitely want to have 13. I think I've got 13 somehow, despite all the injury carnage for this week. If you have a couple of extra, that's great, and that may help in case of injury or something like that. So maybe if you get a cop an injury from a player playing early on, that might be an encouragement to trade someone in so you can kind of cover off that score so that doesn't end up in your 13. Then I think the mini buy rounds, I guess, 13, 16, 19, I think they're actually harder to get 17. So you absolutely have to have 17 players. And some players are going to be rolling out some not so good players to make up a 17. So if you can get 17 guns playing, or at least, you know, a few mid-rangers who can score a decent score for you, then I think you have to, and I think the super coaches are going to find it harder to fill 17 in those weeks. And me personally, I'm kind of on tilt, but I do think there's a bit of method to my madness. So I'm going to target those mini buy rounds more so than the major buy rounds, I suppose, yep, as you would say.
I think that's right as well, because I think you can actually lose more ground on those mini buy rounds because the scores will be higher. These major buy rounds are often lower scoring games when teams aren't at full strength. There's obviously some guns playing in these rounds that can get big scores, but I think generally the scores will be slightly more compressed. So not having a full team on those other on those mini buy rounds, 13, 16, 19, can really set you back. Dan, is that how you're approaching it? And and probably on the major buy rounds as well. Obviously this week you want to have at least 13, but would you be willing to sacrifice potentially to 12 in either 15 or 18 to make sure you have a full squad for 13, 16, 19?
Yeah, I would be happy to run 12 this week if they're 12 absolute premiums. So I really don't want Deadwood for the major buys at all. Like you just can't run them. You want 13 or 12 ultra like premiums who can score well, like really stacking your center wing and fullbacks this week because they've got the better ceilings. I wouldn't be going targeting some of these guys coming in who are maybe picking up minutes because of people out for Origin in the forwards. They might get you a 45-50. Like, just don't even worry about them. And as you said, the mini buy rounds are super tough. I mean, this year it's been better for having full strength 17, 18 players who are good across the board. So I think that's a really good year to target a very strong 17 for the mini buys. But you may be carrying a couple of guys like a Lockie Hubner, for example, and he might prove really good for you in those mini buys. He's the kind of guy that you don't necessarily need for the major buys.
Yes, I'd agree with that. Dan, just still with you, should you prioritize the earlier buy rounds more than the late buy rounds when it comes to thinking about trades?
Yeah, it's tough, really tough this year. I think that's what I've found is I wasn't really looking at rounds 18 and 19 right now. But the more I look at that, the more worried I get because after this week, the likes of Souths, Dragons, all these teams that have a very good buy period, really it's going to be a massive struggle for that last buy round in round 19. So say, for example, I'm thinking of bringing in Joey Tapanay this week or Hosking. I'm already stacked with Canberra. I want to bring in a couple of Souths, maybe one South, two Souths, and Manly as well. So it's really tough, and you've actually now got to extend your buy planning to about five or six rounds deep now.
Yeah, it's super tough. Gramsy, the other spanner in the works for these mini buy rounds is Origin backups. So teams will have between three and five Origin players, I would have thought, most teams. I think round 13 looks all right, but round 16, when they're traveling back from Perth, is really going to be a struggle for those guys to back up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we already know, I believe, all the Penrith Origin players are not backing up from Origin 2. So plan for that if you've got guys like Nathan Cleary. But if the Panthers are doing it, you can bet that other teams are going to do it as well. I mean, the Panthers are playing in Auckland that week. That's a factor there. But you'd have to think guys like, you know, Payne Haas, Tino, they'd be a good chances of not playing in that week too. So, and then you've got guys like, Kiraz could be back by then, but people probably would have sold, probably selling this week.
Munster's the other one there. They've got a 3-day backup from Perth. So I would be shocked if they risk him there. So I'm actually prioritizing round 16 to make sure that I'm covered for 16. Me and Dan were just talking earlier, though, round 19 is looking like a nightmare as well. So I'm really worried about that. That's what kind of makes these Roosters guys who play every single major buy round and mini buy round so crucial. But Dan, then you can't be too exposed on Roosters either, because then they miss 14, 17, leaving you somewhat vulnerable there with it to injuries.
Yeah, they do. And I just don't think there's enough Roosters to go rounds. Like, I mean, you know, you look at the likes of like Siwa Wong, like he's just not interesting to me at all. He's getting 50s and 60s, but he could be a really good guy over that period. But is it worth a trade in? I'm not sure. Most people are holding Toya, Billy Smith, most likely getting Teddy this week.
Sandon Smith,
Marky Mark's a big option. Like, yeah, that's going to be really tough. So you are exposing yourself a little bit for those bye weeks for the Roosters, even though they're much easier because they're the only team on the bye for rounds 14 and rounds 17. But I think it's probably essential to probably have at least three Roosters over this period.
Yep. All right, boys.
We've got people running a couple of nuffs as well, remember. Correct. So if I did see a team, though, posted to our social media channels from our wonderful community of someone who had no nuffs at all in their team, and I thought it was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it's I had a mild panic attack about my nuffs this week and how, like, have I got this entire strategy wrong about having two nuffs? And this will play out over the next while, though. But I think that that's actually helped me a lot, but we'll see if it keeps helping me. Boys, we've got plenty of buy. We'll talk about the buyers throughout the pod tonight. But moving on now to the most sold players from teams who aren't playing this week or injuries, because they're not going to be trading options. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on just the potential sort of sell versus hold. Are they viable to hold, some of these most sold off players? So we won't chat about Dylan Egan because he's obviously gone for the season, which is terrible news. So he's an obvious trade out. Gramsy, Jacob Kiraz sold off by 28% of the top 10%. Almost all of his owners will be selling him. Is there a case to hold him? He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. He's obviously a keeper.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this today. Is he at 4 weeks? Is he at 6 weeks? I guess that's a big factor. If he comes back in four, then he might be at, four from the time of the injury. That'll take him past. So he won't be available till around 16. So, I'd say leaning to selling him, but he probably won't be, 16 is on the bye.
Yeah, 16 bye. So I think
around 17. So he's probably 17. Not playing Origin 3. So because we were all concerned about him playing Origin. So he's only going to get one game before the game 3 is picked. So I think that rules him out of that. So if you're willing to keep him to around 17, the only factor is the price. He's nearly 800,000. There's so many ways you could use that. If you don't have Teddy and you can somehow make a couple of trades, he's, pretty much not a straight swap, but only 100K to go from Kiraz to Teddy if you don't already own. So it makes a lot of sense. And it's going to be hard. We're already relying on so many players backing up. There's already, around 16 hanging over you that you probably just can't afford to hold him at that price when you need numbers.
Yep, I agree with that. I think he's a sell. Dan, Kalen Ponga, 11% sold off. I kind of had a flirt with this earlier in the week, but just the two-day backup after Origin 1 scares me to hold.
Yeah, his scoring output so far is what scares me to hold. Like, you could be thinking, oh, he's great value now at 500K. I'll hold him. He's got a Dragons game. And you're like, you're not even confident anymore that he's going to do well against the Dragons. Like, and Knights, a couple of injuries now. Lucas looking half fit. Like, I just don't want to put myself through that stress anymore. So I'm very happy to sell Ponga this week.
Scotty Drinkwater, Gramsy, -8% traded out. He's going to have a 14 in his roller, so he's going to start losing some cash. I just think he's they got Tigers next week. For me, it's just too big a upside and just not worth the trade to trade Drinky out.
Yeah, totally agree. Got to cop it on the chin, like people like Dan who brought him in this week. He's shown it, he got three tons in a row. He's not a good player. Sometimes this happens to the best players. I remember Tommy Turbo getting an 8 one day after, in one of his great seasons, not this season, which wouldn't be a surprise. But it happens to the best players. And we've just been talking about the buyers nonstop. Drinkwater plays from 13 to 26 the whole rest of the head-to-head season, I guess. So, he's absolutely a hold for that period because he's going to be one of your best numbers, one of your best captain options throughout the whole bye period.
I almost forgot about the head-to-head concept, Gramsy, so thanks for bringing that back to the...
I'm a head-to-head player now. By the time we get there, most players will be turned into head-to-head players anyway, won't they?
Yeah, that sort of chat starts around now. It's good. Dan Payne-Haas, super interesting, -6%. He's got a groin injury. He's rated about 50-50 for Origin. I'd say he probably will play. But that surely puts into doubt him backing up after this round. And he's just looking like he's not going to play many games over the next couple of months.
Groin, was it quad injury I heard quad. First? And now it's quad. Groin? No.
Oh, really?
Quad? Yeah, okay. No, I don't know. You just said groin, so that's the only source I'm going
with. Sorry, I meant to say quad.
Okay, sure.
Stephen Crichton's a groin.
Yeah. Look, I didn't see the Broncos game, so I didn't see if he went off a little bit early or anything like that. But he certainly looked like he was still moving well in that last minute of the game. Mate, there.
He scored 30 points in the last 90 seconds or something.
It was like, what are we going to do here? Just pass it to Payne every second tackle, right? So how much
honestly, they at one stage I thought Payne was going to chip and chase, and I'm a Broncos fan, so I just thought, why don't they just give it to Payne? Like, that's no one else looked like doing anything. It was terrible viewing.
He saw Tino do the chip and chase the other week for a nice little try assist. So, but no, look, I'm very reluctant to sell Payne. I think if you said, like, who's the one guy you want to hold through the rest of the year, regardless of this period, it would be Payne Haas. Like, I've already sold Nathan Cleary, who I want back. That's why I think it's a bit crazy selling someone like Drinkwater or another guy who's basically end game player in your team, likes of Pappenhausen. So I want to hold him at all costs. If his injury is worse than reported, well, yeah, I'll consider, because, I mean, you've done the deep dive, Matty, on the rounds that he's going to miss, but it could be plenty if he's not backing up.
Yeah, well, I'd suggest if he doesn't back up, I'm going to look to potentially sell Haas next week if he doesn't back up. So I'd suggest it's somewhere in the region of 10 to 20% that he plays round 13. But if he misses 13, that means he'll miss, well, obviously 12 he'll miss, but he'll miss 12, 13, 15, 16, most likely on the backup from Perth, and then 18 and possibly 19. So up until round 19, he might only play rounds 14 and 17. Which is two out of the next eight games. So that's not ideal for 900K that's tied up in Payne Haas. So, yeah. Graham's...
You're getting some extra trades somewhere, Matty.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, don't start on that. Let's just... I've got 21 in the kick after this week, mate, so I'll make it work. Purdue and Toya, Gramsy. So they're both sold off 5% and 4% respectively in the top 10%. Either of those trade out options for you this week?
I think you're mad to trade out Robert Toya this week. He's got a minus 19 break even. One more game and he'll be up over 600K. So keep him, absolutely. Reverse those trades if you've made that move, because he's still got plenty of money to make. And Purdue, I can understand why you might do it. I mean, we've mentioned the buy coverage though, and you know, it didn't quite work last time for the Cowboys. Murray Taulagi, how long's he out for? Does Purdue move back to the centers? But I mean, he'll gain in confidence every game he plays in the six. I don't think we're going to see, like, the Cowboys have a pretty good draw as well. I don't think we're going to see them, you know, score as badly as they did against Manly. That was really out of character for them. But I can understand if you've got both of them, you have to sell one of them, and Purdue's the one to go.
Yeah, I don't know. You've really just got to look at the options there. I'd be holding Purdue if I could. I'd be holding Toya, but I'm not as hard on the sell as Toya. And Dan, I think you're even more against it.
Well, I don't mind selling Toya, because he could come out. It's really for that one game. So you're banking on him going well in round 14.
If he backs up.
Sorry, 13.
No, 13. Yeah.
If he backs up, because then he doesn't play 14, potentially doesn't play 15 if he's picked again for Origin. So you could be holding for 4 weeks just to get a 50K price rise. And I'm not that keen anymore. I've had it burn me a little bit this year where you're holding those players for that just one extra week when they might make, and then they have a subpar score, they only make you 25K, you're trading them out anyway. So if he's holding up a slot and you've got a premium center wing to get in this week, I think you could trade Toya. Purdue's different, I feel, because he's the second best Cowboy for Supercoach relevance. Like, and I mean, I was even looking, trying to find another Cowboy this week, and I reckon it's close that Johnny Bateman might be third best. And that's how bad it drops off after that. So I would
Labor?
Well, maybe. If he's not in the team, right? So I just personally would, if I had him, I don't, but I would really look to hold him because he's an absolute jet. If he goes back to center, I'm going to even see him as a trade-in potentially for myself after this week.
Who knew that Robert Derby would be Supercoach Player of the Year 2025?
Send him off! Send the dressing gates off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical!
All right, boys, let's get on to our positional analysis now. And as always, we talk about ownerships in the top 10% because they are the engaged Supercoach audience and give us the best indication of ownership. Let's start at fullback. And this week, we have to start at James Tedesco. Dan, 919K, break-even of 100. He's 48% owned and 14.8% purchased. So very, very popular. It's a lot of money to be spending for a guy coming with a buy in 2 weeks' time. But he does look the premium option. He's the safe option, and you're basically buying him to hold, if not for the rest of the season, at least for another 10 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've got to pay the tax for Teddy this week. Again, it's like team dependent with every other coverage. The only reason I would say not to get Teddy, and I'm planning this a little bit this week, I've got two options. I've got buy planning for Teddy and then buy planning without Teddy, at least for the next three rounds. So Teddy, you can still pick him up in round 15. I don't think you can't have Teddy over the whole bye period, but certainly you could not pick him up this week to potentially plan to pick him up in round 15. So that 900K obviously can be spread over multiple players, particularly for this week. So you could get a few 500, 600K guys, keep getting a really stacked 13. Whereas if you pick up Teddy, you might have to pick up a lowly 200, 300K guy and just hope he goes well. So that's probably the predicament for most coaches this week.
Yeah, the other one is Tom Turbo. Now, Gramsy, we speak about Tom Turbo. He's usually up around that 800, 900K price range. He's 552K, break-even of 119, 6.6% owned, 5.9% have brought him in this week. I am one of them currently. How do you feel about Tommy Turbo?
Oh, I'm conflicted. He's currently in my side. I traded him in, but then I was going to reverse the trade because I don't want him, and then coming up with some other crazy plans to make sure I've got a good team for next week. And then you could potentially get him for 30 to 50K cheaper next week. And if he scores a mildly good score, he'll have a pretty low break even for the next three games. And you never know, maybe he gets up into the 700s. But that's the Tommy Turbo that we used to know, judging by what we've seen so far this season. I think we've said this a lot with Kalen Ponga this year, but I think he was a bit unlucky last week. He just had one of his games where he made five errors. Like, he's not going to make five errors again, and probably two of them were when he was about to score a try or lay on a try. So that 18... And then he got a sin bin. So that 18 could have been a 60, you know. But we keep saying that about Kalen Ponga too. And when's it going to turn around? It's not going to turn around. So, you know, I think it's a big risk to take, especially if you're one of the top guys. If you're back near the 10,000s like me, then I think it might be worth the risk. But I'm thinking that I may be able to get him cheaper next week too.
Yeah. There are good positives to both. Teddy, you are saving trades, I think. If you bring Teddy in this week, you don't have to worry about him for the rest of the bye period. Turbo, you are almost certainly going to have to trade out during the bye period at some point. The way I'm looking at it is, if I want to be conservative, I can get Tedesco because I've actually got some money in the bank as well. I think Tedesco is the safe play. What I don't like about Tedesco is that you're not going to captain him the next 2 weeks. So I would rather buy him in round 15 where he is a captaincy option from there and beyond if I'm paying 900K or around that. Because this week he's playing the Sharks at Gosford where they're big underdogs. Nicho Hynes, I think, is the clear captaincy option in that game. Next week, Paps and Drinky both have buffet fixtures against the Titans and Tigers respectively. So you're not going to want to captain him there either. And they have tricky fixture there as well against Canberra, who we know have not conceded a lot of points to fullbacks at all this season. Obviously, James Tedesco is his own beast and he still has the potential to score well in that game. Tommy Turbo, I'm looking at it from the perspective of everyone knows he's injured and I know he's injured. He's not at his best, but a 70% Turbo can still score really well for Supercoach and he keeps getting named, so he must be able to be getting through these games. 550K, like that's priced at what, 55 or something like that? If he doesn't average 55 over the next month, I'll eat my hat. The only problem is I want at least a 75 average from him, which I think we will get if he stays on the field. He won't stay on the field. He's just such a big chance to not stay on the field, and that's the risk. I just think the payoff on Tom Turbo, if if the bet wins, is so high, he's the thing that could shoot me right up near the top of the ranks, because I'll own him and not many others will, and I'll have vice-captained him or captained him. So probably won't captain him, but I'll vice-captain him. Those days, the captaincy days of Turbo are over this season. So yeah, so I'm really, I think that's where I'm at the moment, and I'm going to take the plunge.
You'd have to expect that he's going to be a focal point in attack this week as well, without Daly Cherry-Evans.
Their draw is unbelievable. The draw is unbelievable.
That's the other thing. The fixture is so good.
Like Parramatta this week, but even Broncos next week probably don't have Payne Haas backing up. They're at Four Pines Park. Dragons just put 30 on Broncos. Like, that's juicy. They play around 14 where Teddy doesn't. And then if I think Blues will win. Yeah, against Knights. And if I think the Blues, if they win, they won't change the side. I think Lomax and Dotto will keep their spot. I think Dylan Edwards will keep their spot. So he's only coming in with injury. Round 15, they play the Titans. So, like, he can take on Teddy for the next four. If he gets the same amount of points, you're absolutely laughing. You've got 400K to spend elsewhere. So I'm happy to take the risk this week. But again, I still haven't decided which way I'll go. I think he can go both ways.
Agree. Teddy's just a great, solid option. I think the price is a factor, the 900K. Like, you can spread that money, like you mentioned, Dan. All right, let's move down to centre wing now. And premium options here, Gramsy, we're looking at Herbie Farnworth, Kale Iro, Mark Nwanganyi-Tawase, and Ruben Garrick for non-owners. 81% do own, so he's not as topical. Sort of, who are those guys? Does it come down to your buy planning as to which are the best options out of those guys? Because they're all premium options. Probably Marky Mark is maybe just below that, but he showed that he's got that big try-scoring ability, 5 in his last 3.
If we want to talk about Marky Mark first, I suppose he plays all those major buy rounds and the mini buy rounds as well. So that's one factor. However, he has scored 5 tries in his last 3 games. I don't know how sustainable that is against the quality of teams. So I think he is maybe a little bit draw dependent, although you would say the Bulldogs are a good defensive team and he scored 2 tries against them.
But and he's moved to centre this week.
And he has moved to centre this week. I actually think he's got better base at centre and he has more offloads at centre. So I don't think that necessarily is a bad thing. He maybe doesn't score as many tries, but also the Roosters are a bit weakened. So are they going to be as good against almost full strength Sharks?
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, they've only got three or four players missing, like every team does, but the Roosters are pretty decimated. So yeah. I think that might affect his ability, to be honest. So I'm going to give him a miss. He was in my team yesterday, but I had a closer look and now he's out because I just don't think that try-scoring run is sustainable. And you mentioned I'll choose Herbie Farnworth, probably is the main person I want out of that. I was so dirty when he got that junk time try at the end because I faded him and I was like, yes, this is going to be great. But somehow found a line and I think he has a high upside this week. Unusual for him, but I think he could cross for a couple because the Bulldogs are pretty weak. I don't know if he'd be running a Blake Taff, but geez, if he is, you better watch out because he's just going to – well, he must be. If he's replacing Crichton, he might be playing right centre opposing Herbie, and he could go massive.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a reshuffle there. I don't reckon Taff will play. I reckon they're just keeping the pressure. Maybe like a Jonathan Sewer might come onto the wing and Wilson centres or something like that.
I don't think that's any worse.
Yeah, no, true. It's a good matchup for Herbie. It's just more that the Dolphins are pretty decimated themselves. Obviously, Gilbert and Hammer miss now. The Dogs just culturally just seem so strong. Like it does, it's like big next man up mentality and they're playing, you know. But in saying that, like they have shipped big leads in both first half of their last 2 games. So
look, the Dolphins Dolphins. Yeah. They've been like really, their spirit has been amazing. Like they've been missing players too, but they've still been winning games or coming close. I mean, I don't think they played their best game against the Warriors, but they were, you know, not far away from springing an upset at the very end. So they've got a lot of spirit about them, even though they're missing Plath and Marshall King and Gilbert and all these other guys. They're a team that's just always in the fight.
I just feel these cumulative effects on these, the number, like you can do that to a point, can you maintain it? Like, there is a tipping point with that from a cumulative perspective of number of like starters who are out. Dan, Iro or Garrick, would you be prioritizing either of them for premium center wing purchase?
Yeah, I think Garrick is a big buy this week, particularly if you're not super stacked with Manly at the moment, which if you don't have Garrick, you probably aren't. You probably laid them. I think his value at his price, he's had two very low weeks and still jagged to 50. Parramatta this week, goal kicking, starts to get over the trial line, he's going to start generating. And I think at the end, he's a top four centre wing. So I think he'd probably be the priority if I didn't have him already. KL Iro looks great. He's try scoring. Like, that left edge for Cronulla looks great. I think the right edge for Roosters looks a bit diabolical for the defensively this weekend. So definitely a big pickup this week. Just got to check your numbers for the round 13 bye because Sharks don't play as well. So, yeah, both options. I feel Mark Nwanga Nituase is overpurchased this week. I don't see him at value at 650K. But geez, he's a fun watch. Like, he just does so much and so much out of the box. Like, you know, but I just feel like at 650K, he's probably outpriced. So I'm going to leave him alone this week.
Yep. Mid-range options, Gramsci. We've got Jason Saab, 446K on the right wing for Manly. He's a guy who can spike. Sav Tamale, like, I traded him out a few weeks ago. I wish I hadn't. Is he a buy? That's my question for him. And then Lehi Hopewadi is probably hoping that Turbo missed out. But 543K, he's showing a lot on the wing. His base looks good. So any of those sort of mid-range guys in that price range tickle your fancy?
Tamale is, you know, the standout option out of those. If you sold him, would you buy him back? I'm not so sure. Like, the Warriors this week isn't the best matchup. Although they've got a pretty strong team, the draw coming up is quite good for Canberra. Like, for the rest of the season, they've actually got one of the better draws. He doesn't play 19, which will be a hard buy round. But at the same time, you're putting him against two Manly players there who have buys in 16, which is another tough one. But To be honest, you were talking about Jason Saab there at 440K. I wouldn't mind. I might actually take a flyer on him if we're rating Manly's chances. Maybe I could fade Turbo but get Saab because he's the one who's going to benefit if Turbo's on.
Like, I own Tamale. I don't know if he's necessarily a bring-in, purely now looking ahead to that round 19. But, yeah, Lehi Hopewadi, I've been really impressed the last couple of weeks. Big base, you know, and I think this base is picked up purely because Turbo's not running the ball. So Lehi's picking up the slack there. He's on the left edge for for Manly this week against Parramatta. He could potentially go back to fullback if Turbo's injured or selected for Origin. So I think he's a great pickup over the bye period. I think it's, again, team dependent on how many you've got in Manly, but I'm definitely considering bringing Lehi in this week.
Dan, just also here a few other cheaper options at centre wing who people are sort of starting to look at. I've got Xavier Savage coming off that 124 against the Titans. He's 385K minus 27 break even. That's thrill seekers, isn't it?
100%. Like, I mean, Savage played unbelievable on the weekend, but it's the first time he's caught the ball cleanly for 10 rounds. Like, if you're going to look for a cash grab, you might get him. Not a bad matchup this week, but good draw. I'd probably leave him alone though because he's going to have some 20s and 30s for you.
Well, his four games before that was 17, 12, 36, 29.
Yeah. So you're looking at one game where he did, and to be fair, he had a great game. He looked unbelievable, really involved, caught the ball. So, I'm going to definitely steer clear of him this week.
Gramsci, I want to ask you about Marweni Hirodi. He's named on the he's back from the dead. We thought he was gone, but he's 432K playing on the end of it with Stone Street out. He's playing on the right wing. He showed great base plus power before he got hurt. My only reservation there might be Sione Katoa due back maybe around 16, 17.
Yeah, I think you can probably wait a couple of weeks. Obviously, it'd be nice to get him for the bye now, but then he doesn't play in round 13. So maybe when we have some more information, we might have some more by then on Sione Katoa. So, and I think his break even is reasonably high this week as well.
Yeah, 48.
Yeah, so no need to move on him this week. Wait, see if there's maybe some more information in a couple of weeks. And if he happens to pop off this week and has a low BE, you can make the decision in round 14.
Jordan Samrani, Dan, I'm going to go with trap here. He did get that jewel, which is nice. 2RF center wing, minus 19 break even. He's starting at center. So that means he's played wing, second row, and center now for the Eels. It looks like it's only like it, I can't really see how he starts, and I just think he'll become a bit of a trap there for young players in the next few weeks.
Yeah, that absolute trap. I think just don't go near him. He's scored a couple of tries, I think, recently as well. Coming off the back row, he looks okay there, but he's probably not going to get the minutes. And you just like Parramatta don't play the other major buy rounds, and that would be the value of him if he played more major buy rounds and you could jag a good score then. But he's probably not making your side ever. And could be an AE issue going forward as well in those rounds where there's less buys.
Yep. And finally, Fletcher Hunt, I'll speak about. He's 198K second game. He got a 9 in his first game. I think there's just a bit too much up in the air now with the Knights. Now that Lucas is fit, they're playing Kyle McCarthy at centre. He could get a run in the team, but with the news Marju's back in 2 weeks, I think that rules Hunt out at the moment as an option for this week specifically. He's just going to be a week-by-week proposition. See if he stays in the team. See if he can get a score. I wouldn't be looking at Hunt this week.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
5'8 and halfback now. We'll do this together. Gramsy, Nicho Hynes, most popular purchase in this range. Not much going on here from a purchase perspective for halfback and 5'8", but he looks like a key number this week and certain captaincy option.
Yeah, good number. Definitely a captaincy option against the weakened Roosters. It's probably one of the most sensible trades of the round. There's not really any other halfbacks that are going to battle with him over the next or better him over the rest of the season, in my opinion. The only consideration is will Cleary back up from Origin. I'm assuming most people would have Cleary already, unless they're going Cleary to Hynes potentially. But Hynes doesn't play next week, round 13, so you may be left without a halfback. So you just probably got to make sure that you've got enough players to cover every other position, so you could take an AE there next week if needed.
Yeah. I think an AE is on the cards next week for sure, but I think if Cleary doesn't back up, then I think Cleary to Hughes is one of the easier trades you'll make next week if he doesn't back up with the Storm playing the Titans and Cleary then only really playing one game out of the next 4 or 5. So that's my plan anyway. Blaze Tulagi, Dan, here is one who I want to talk about. He's 605K, break-even of 21. He's very low ownership, 3.5%. I really like Blaze. I think people have sort of forgotten. He's been a bit of an enigma in terms of his play and his play style. But I think people have forgotten he's only sort of 19 years old. He's coming off a big ton against the Cowboys last start. I'm really interested in Blaze.
Yeah, like I think the jewel of Blaze really helps as well. Center wing 5'8". I know people have gone to LKT now at that second 5'8 spot. There's a potential that you're going to have to trade him out at some stage. And so Blaze coming into your center wing this week could be a potential move there. So I really like him as a player. He's got absolute flair. He's really warming into that 5'8 spot now. And, Panthers have been going particularly bad. I think he could be good over this period. They've got a really good 3-round draw now with Para, Tigers, and nice. Someone else quite juicy.
Nice this week.
Yeah, so Knights this week. So, yeah, definitely a good option. I don't think it's too much of a risk because I think he will be a focal point of their attack this week.
Yep. A couple of other guys, Gramsy, in this sort of more premium sort of mid-range category. We've got Dylan Brown, 634K. They play 12, 13, 15. So good early buy coverage for the Eels. And then we've got Matty Burton, who's sort of burst back into relevance with a decent score last week. He's only 529K now. The negative for him is just no 13, no 16. I'm struggling to bring in any dogs at this stage.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we say they've got a great buy coverage, but, you know, it's a double-edged sword because they miss 13 and 16. In saying that, you know, 520K, if he keeps the goal kicking, that's probably a risk you've got to consider. And, it's something that, you've got to weigh up. And who are your best 5/8 options there? Munster and Campbell, who you can probably just hold through this period and for the rest of the season. So unless you want to take a bit of a risk and sell Munster like some silly people did last week, then, and he's got the Titans next week if he backs up from Origin. So I don't think you really need to make a trade at 5/8 at all. Dylan Brown, I guess, is a good one. I'd probably put Dylan Brown in the halfback spot if I needed to, just to, you know, he might be your option against Hines.
I think that's right. I think if you don't have to trade at 5/8, this isn't the week, because you obviously don't need a 5/8 this week. So, it's not the highest upside position. So I'm definitely on board with that. Dan, the Canberra boys, KO Weeks, he turned up again last week. We were pretty keen to say don't bring in KO Weeks, but he's actually really looked improved. We know Canberra's coverage. We know you can't be too exposed on Canberra. Jamal Fogarty is the other one. I know you brought him in.
Yeah, I'm really high on Fogarty. I think he's a real focal point of attack for the Raiders. He's putting all the kicks in, so he's going to get those try assists like he did on the weekend. He was a bit unlucky on the weekend as well.
Super unlucky.
He lost a try assist, and he lost another attacking stat as well. So he also didn't kick the first four goals, I think, something like that.
Yeah, he missed his first three goals or four goals, but then also he had a try that they gave, and then it was overturned. A try assist, which was, I think, was line break assist try assist.
Yeah, to Simi Sasami, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he is a good option going forward. I really, the reason I bought him is these major buy rounds, like goal kickers and attacking players, like in the centre wing, fullback, and at the halves, I think are the crucial guys. Can you pick him up now? Yeah, you probably can. Like last week was the play with the Titans, but I think you can probably pick him up still. I would still like prioritize Nico is the number one at halfback. And as Gramsci alluded to, like, don't make a trade at 5/8 because your plan should be to get Jaden Campbell in round 15. So if you've got Munster and another guy probably looking to kind of, I wouldn't be going Burton at the moment. But Bulldogs have not a bad run end of the bye period, like 17, 18, 19, particularly if Munster's not looking like backing up later on. So I could even see that if Munster is 750K and Burton's 500s, that might be an option. But, yeah, leave it alone at the moment.
Yeah, there's a lot to play out there. I agree with that. The last name on my list here is Hugo Savala, who I'll just touch on, 336K, 23 break even. He's 25% owned, which is quite high. He's going to be useful enough. I just wouldn't be going anywhere near Hugo Savala. He's not going to make any more money now, particularly, or he's going to have to get lucky to make money. And like you mentioned, Dan, like these shitty buy numbers, pardon me, but these crappy buy numbers, they're just not worth it to cover the buy rounds.
No, we know he's got a big 20 score in him this week as well. Like it can happen. He just doesn't have that, I guess, the base and power stats. He's a great kicker of the ball, but he's more long kicking, defensive kicking. So you've got to stick.
Distribution.
Yeah. I think the time to get on was when Jono picked him up about 6 weeks ago, I think.
And correct.
He's done okay. He's going to be a buy number for you, but you know, I don't think you need to get him just for a buy number this week.
No.
And through the period.
The key back then was that he's made 130K. So
yeah.
They've got that. They've got a buy number. Great. The point now is you've got a buy number, a not very good buy number, and you're not going to make a lot of money. So I just don't see the point
here. The other thing is Sam Walker's going to be back, I think, in round 14. Correct. Well, not in round 14. Round 15 he'll be back. So you're only going to get two more games out of Savala.
Good point, Gramsci. All right, guys, let's get down to 2RF now. And most popular purchase last week, Zach Hosking, once again, highly popular. He scored 77 on the weekend with a try without a line break. He looked pretty good. He played 68 minutes, which I think he'll get 80 this week because Hudson Young out. He should pick up that 80-minute role. So Sasagi will be on the other side. It'll be interesting to see what side he plays, actually. He could shift over to the left, which would be good. Gramsy, did you get Hosking last week, or are you looking at him this week?
No, I decided against him. I decided to go the premium for Tapane. So it was devastating to see him score. Yep. As a non-owner, I was pleased to see he came off early again. And that seems to be a trend that's emerging. And as a Starling owner, it was great to see Starling stay on the field and Hosking go off. So how about being a Starling owner, Danny? It's been a bit of a wild ride. But anyway, we'll get to Hooker later. But Hosking, yeah, it's interesting to see that, yeah, he did come off early, and whether that's going to be the trend moving forward, you never know with Ricky. But he's been hesitant to play Hosking for too many minutes on the edge. You see he's got a bit of an injury history as well, so maybe that's trying to preserve him. That's probably a reason you can fade him if you don't want to kind of waste a trade there, because I personally can see myself having my second row complete next week, potentially, if I'm bringing in Kaloa Matangi and Katoa. I've already got Olakau'atu and Lucas and Tino. Like, I don't need another second rower. So that's something you can't consider if you've already got him.
Correct. Yep, I agree with that. I think Hosking is still a nice price, 528K. I think the minutes will be there. Dan, my biggest concern with any of these Raiders guys is just your exposure to Canberra. They do have a good buy run. They play 12, 13, 16. They miss 15, but then also miss round 19. So it's just... You can't overexpose yourself on any team.
No, you're right, especially that round 19 with the likes of Kaloa Matangi and a few other options like that are going to be there for next week for the bye period. So we got Souths, Canberra and Dragons, I believe, in the round 19 bye.
Souths, Canberra, Manly.
Manly, sorry. So and Manly's another popular Supercoach team. So you could potentially have 8 or 9 blokes out even before Origin, you know, restings for that week. So myself, I don't have a boost. It's only going to be 2 trades in that round 19 as well. It's saying that Hosking's a very safe option. So if you're not super stacked in the second row, I think he's a fine bring in if you just can't get the cash to go up to the likes of an AFB or a Joe Tapane. So I think he's a fine option, but doesn't excite me too much.
Aaron Clark, Dan. He's just been the gift that keeps on giving for those who have picked him up along the way. He's now 685K. The Warriors miss 15 and 18, but they do play 12, 13, 16. So good coverage, I would say, if you're sort of looking okay for those major buy rounds. I think the price now is a bit of an issue. I don't know that you're picking up a ton of value. And with that mixed buy schedule, I'm inclined to pass, but I can see why people are still interested.
Yeah, he's a big pass. Like I said it last week, I think his base was huge. Like his role is obviously unbelievable. He's gotten a couple of attacking stats. Just when you can go to the likes of AFB and Joe Tapane, like I don't think he's on that level just yet. Like obviously he could prove me wrong and go really well for the rest of the year, but I think he's been at his peak for the last 3 weeks. So you know, Aaron Clark had a great score with a 70 and Joey Tapps has a quiet round with a 70. Like, I know who I'd be picking up first.
I think he's an absolute trade-in. If you believe in his role, I think he's a keeper. So if you believe he's a keeper, if you think he's going to keep up getting 60 to 70 minutes for the Warriors in the middle, I think you can absolutely take on. I mean, he's eligible at second row, you know, as well as front row. So if you front row stacks, there's no reason you can't have him in your second row. Like if he's scoring that well every week, I think you could almost have, you know, we joked about earlier in the season, you could have 7 middles in your, you know, front row and second row because they're all just scoring so well this year. So why wouldn't you? And 680K, I think it's still a good price for someone who you think is a keeper. The risk's there. I had him in last week, but then I decided not to because I was worried about what James Fisher-Harris might do to that. And then Jackson Ford coming back this week. Obviously, Fisher Harris got suspended, so I can see Clark busting out an 80-something again this week with his current role.
Do you see him as a top tier with the likes that can match those other big boys up there?
I think he can if you're running him at second row. You can't run, AFB at second row, and you've already got May, Haas, and if you've got Tarpane, I think you can only have maybe Tarpane or AFB in that third front row spot. No one's running a fourth front rower, so you're running dual position guys like Tino, and then I think, Kalamatangi will get a dual, and Clark, he's a dual already. So if you've already got a front row, second row enough in your front row, then you can easily move them up. So I think you want to look at Clark as a second row trade in and see how he compares to second rowers. If he's averaging 80, he's better than most second rowers at the moment.
I don't think an 80 is sustainable. Sorry, Dan.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's a bit of an outlier. Like he's had a great season. I just can't see it getting any better. So on his price at the moment, like I always like to get value and look for potential. I just think he's outpriced now.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. So I think you guys put forward solid arguments there. If anything, I'd probably lean a little bit on Gramsci's side as a potential trade target. I'm still going to consider him. I just think it comes down to so much how you're set up with any of these guys, which rounds you're well set up for and which you aren't. So I'm like, you need to prioritize those rounds that you're not well set up for, because you just don't want to leave yourself exposed. You may still struggle in a given round with injuries and whatnot, but I think you just want to try and be in as even as possible across these major and minor buy rounds so that you're kind of ready, that you only like can absorb one player being out, not being four short for one of those weeks. So that's how I'm giving consideration. I think Aaron Clark's right in the mix. Hamole Olakau'atu. So he's one I'm really struggling with, Dan. I'm keen to hear what you think. He's 649K. He's jersey 20 for the Origin, so he's on the cusp of the Blues team. Do you think he's a good bring-in with this good coverage over the next 4 weeks?
Tell you what, I'm glad I've got him to begin with. He's a guy that can go huge in these major buy rounds. I think that's it's a really tough decision. Like his origin potential being named at number 19, I think. So he's one or two injuries away from being selected for that round 15. He hasn't shown, we know he can go a little bit lower and bid off the boil as well on his base. So he's not going to have that consistent sort of 50, 60 score all the time. He might have some 40s in him, but he's just such an attacking weapon as well. So he can really hurt you if he's not in your side. So very tough decision. I wouldn't be against anyone bringing him in. And if it was, say, Aaron Clark over Hamole this week, I'd probably lean towards Hamole just for that potential upside. But, tough decision.
My feeling on him is I do think he's still unlikely to get picked in the 18 for Origin, just because he either has to, I think you can only start him on edge, or you could pick him on the bench, but I honestly think for Origin 2 the Blues would probably pitch up for Kalamatangi ahead of him for a bench spot because of Kalamatangi's versatility. Olakau'atu is more your 80 minute edge guy still. He can't play in the middle. I think it's unlikely he plays Origin 2. He does miss round 16, and once again, you can't overexpose yourself. So I'm bringing him Turbo, and I don't feel great about bringing in another Manly with Turbo. So that's kind of where my head's at with that. Gramsci, would you be worried about Cherry Evans being out as well for his output?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a consideration. I don't have the stats in front of me to support the argument, but Cherry Evans is the guy who's feeding him. I think he could still... he's still obviously a great number for this week, but Cherry Evans will be, he usually backs up from Origin. It's rare that he doesn't. I think he probably didn't back up from one of the games last year, but he's very durable. So he'll still come in for those good rounds, the next couple. And then, the points could flow easily against Eels without Moses and the Titans in 15 if he's not picked for Origin. But, his scores are they're not jumping out. At the moment, I'm an owner and I've been a little bit frustrated, but I haven't been looking at him because I consider him a keeper at the end of the day.
Yep. He's definitely that. The lack of respect there, Gramsci, for grand final try scorer Jake Arthur is shocking. But anyway, we'll move on from that. Dan, Viliami kick out. Like I said, I'm going not going near Dogs, but he's looked great. Break even at 23. Price is right, 587K. He's got a great role.
Yeah, it feels a little bit short term maybe for me, but I mean, I think he was a pickup a few weeks ago. He's very attack reliant, but they're certainly searching for him on that left edge there. So another guy that I like I wouldn't like picking up many forwards this week, just because you'd rather go for the guys with the high ceiling, potential tries, really attack this 13 player week. But he's probably one of the only forwards, along with like a Olokwatu, who can go really big, get doubles, and yeah, I expect him to go 80 plus this week. So
I think he goes huge this week. If I had to pick someone who I think really pops off, he's running it. That'll be Finifuiaki and Max Fine on that side. I think Izzy Katoa is out there as well.
I think Bulldogs are struggling because they don't play round 13 and round 16. Correct. So they play these major buys, but they don't play the minis, and that's really tough. So, look, if you got him, great. He'll be very good this week. He might even be a VC option.
For sure.
So, but I'd be very hesitant, team dependency, on picking him up this week.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Katoa there, mate. He's been defending really well, and he sticks in his tackles. But, of course, Kikau will probably just drag him with him.
Yeah. Gramsy, the last one on my list here, and the boys spoke about him at length on the snap, so we don't need to go too deep. But Leka Halasima, 452K. I've been really impressed just with his work rate. He's playing 80 minutes. We know he has attack.
Yep, absolutely. But I think one thing Jono failed to mention on the Sunday snap was Kurt Capewell he's named in the centres this week, and he's someone who could certainly move back. So there's a bit of risk there. Leotawa is in the reserves. So if he comes in, you'll know, but it is the last game of the round. So I think if you're going to look at Halasima, wait until that last game. So just use two trades and then wait and see and have a plan at the end, because Capewell might move into that spot and Halasima's coming off the bench again, and you just can't have him if that happens. In saying that, I think that was a few games ago that Niokore moved back to the bench.
Correct. He goes into the middle rotation.
So potentially that could happen. So I think there's a bit of risk until you can see it in the naming of the teams on, you know, at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Big boy season, Danny boy. AFB and Joe Tappany, let's talk about them together, because I think a lot of people are making this call this week, me included. Tappany, 729K, AFB, 673K, so a little bit cheaper, and a break-even of only 29 for AFB. AFB is already 32% owned, 33% owned, and 13% purchased this week, so very high on people's radar, coming off a ton. Tappany, 8% purchased this week. Is it as simple, Dan, as checking your buy planning for which one of these you want to bring in?
I think so. I think they're both kind of very good options. They're both premiums. They're both that third front row forward that you want kind of end game. I wouldn't be bringing in if you already had three front row forwards rotating through there. I think it's even with the likes of Tino and Huss maybe not backing up for round 13, I'd probably be very happy to take an auto emergency at front row. That's not too much of an issue if they don't back up. Exactly. So I think they're both great options this week. It just comes down to which how your team's looking. I lean towards AFB. I really like that he plays this week and 15 and 16. And then he also covers that round 19, which is looking tough as well. So slightly cheaper. He showed big minutes on the weekend. He's obviously over that groin injury that he was struggling with a little bit. And I think in those tough games that Sharks are going to have, he's, you know, we saw it on the weekend, he's going to play those extra minutes. So against the lowly teams, he might score a try a bit easier. Against the big teams, he's going to play big minutes. So, yeah, I'm probably going AFB this week.
I think those minutes last week were more affected by injuries than anything.
I understand, slightly.
So it's more like there were two injuries that made him play more minutes. I'm actually concerned about his minutes. They seem to fluctuate a lot. So he gets a lot when players get injured, but then he's a little bit up and down. I mean, he will score tries, which is great, but I think you can rely on Tapanay more.
Corey Horsborough, shout out to those who held. I'm absolutely spewing that he has not been picked for Queensland. Gramsy, I know you are as well, as an avid Queensland fan.
Yeah, well, I grew up in his neck of the woods. I used to play cricket with his dad. it's an outrage, to be honest. So I should have Billy Slater on the phone. I'll give Benny Eichen a call, ask him what's going on, mate. Just a QRL CEO, for those of you who don't know. It doesn't make sense. But I think it'd be a risk to trade him in still.
Can't trade him in.
At all.
Minutes aren't there. He's not a great option at the moment to buy, but if you've held him, then it's perfect.
Yeah, they're almost riding in the streets here on the north side of Brisbane, where I am, just for horse not having a run there. But that means we get to see him run around on Sundays. It's just great watching him, even if you don't own him.
Tommy Starling, Dan, at hooker. He's the only one I want to talk about at hooker tonight, just given time and the lack of relevancy of the position. Would you be keen on bringing him in, or are you still not keen to trade at hooker? I'm a very happy owner.
Yeah, you don't need to trade. Like, it's looking great the last few rounds with him playing that Watson-esque, like, play, you know, 65 at hooker and then go to lock. Which is great, but I think there's still a risk. We've coined it Ricky rolled. Like, he could go back to that 60-minute role. So, yeah, don't get him in. Bring in, like, prefer to trade at the premium sort of attacking positions this week.
Maddie. So, we're all Starling owners here, and I didn't have very much faith in him last week, and then I traded Jazz Tavanga in, and now he's been got. Get nagged the last 2 weeks, but as you know, Ricky's going to change his mind in a minute. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get off him. So I wouldn't get on him.
Captains, boys, Gramsy, who are you looking at VC and C for this week?
Geez, it's actually a pretty tough one. I mean, we mentioned Nicho Hynes before. I actually haven't even decided. I haven't even looked at that. I keep figuring out who I'm going to trade in and then backflipping on that. So I haven't even had time to have a look. I mean, I still think Fletcher Sharp is a decent option. I mean, I think he's in a bit, you know, he looks better than Kalyn Ponga with the ball, even though he didn't have his best game last week. So I think he's someone you could potentially VC, because the Panthers are a weakened team. I know they, and you know, we talk about the culture and all that kind of stuff, but they still haven't been playing that well. With the players they had, maybe they'll have some keen guys coming in, but I think he's someone who will be on my radar. Dylan Lucas, I'm steering clear of, just because of his, you know, he's got a shoulder injury that he kind of carried through last week. He may not even play yet, so we'll have to see what happens. Tommy Turbo,
so,
and you know,
who's your choices, Gramsy? Who you got?
But my answer is I don't know.
We can't go through your whole team for and
yeah,
against
each player. I actually have no idea. It might depend who I trade in, because if I trade, I might trade in someone who I can captain. But
right,
at this stage, I've absolutely no idea. Let's say I'll VC Turbo and I'll captain Hynes.
I think that's pretty good. I'm going with that as well. Dan, what are you doing?
I'm on that, and my Tedesco, if I get Tedesco, I'm probably looking at Ruben Garrick for vice-captain into Hynes captain.
Yep, very good. Okay, pot of the week, boys. I'll kick off. I am going for Paul Alamotti from the Panthers. He's 568K. He gets the goal kicking while Cleary doesn't play. They've got a good draw, which we spoke about. He's shown the ability to score well. I really like it. So I'm actually going to consider buying Paul Alamotti this week. Dan, your pot of the week.
Yeah, love Paul Alamotti. I'm pretty sure I convinced you on him being your pot of the week. But I will go my man, Lehi Hopewate. Haven't owned him this year, but really like the look of him. Base picked up. He was unlucky not to get a double on the weekend as well. So he's my man for the bye period.
Gramsy?
I'm going to go with Ronnie Mulitalo. Someone who I was on my never again list, but lately, especially last week, I noticed he was bobbing up in the centres a lot, and he was doing that when Hirodi was in the team as well. So he's kind of taking ball off KL Iro, which is a bit of a concern if you're an Iro owner. But yeah, I liked how Militello was bobbing up in the centres. He's trying to get his hands on the ball more. He's only 3.7% owned. So if you're looking for someone, yeah, to buck the trend, to get on Ronnie, I reckon.
Very good. All right, boys, that will see us out tonight. Don't forget, listener, please check out baller.live and stick to our socials all weekend for all the most relevant Supercoach information and gags. Gramsy, thank you so much. Well done on your debut.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers. And Dan, all the best weekend. May your upswing continue. May the yo-yo be on the way up.
Cheers, Matty.
All right, thanks, everyone. We'll catch you next week.